beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious... Shit. Previously on Dubious Intent. Why does that sound stupid? Is that right? Okay. Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
I don't know. So do you watch any cooking shows at all, or like Ming Tsai, or...
I do, but I don't watch anything on the other... I only watch those on PBS.
Like Ming Tsai, or... what's on PBS now? Like Ming Tsai, or...
No, there's a bunch of them, like Franklin's Barbecue that we like to watch.
Like Ming Tsai, or...
I watch Lydia's Italy.
Like Ming Tsai, or...
I watch the Great British Bake Show. What is it called?
Like Ming Tsai, or...
Yeah, there was a baking show that was on right now that I was wanting to watch because I heard about it on some podcast I listened to.
Like Ming Tsai, or... I don't even know what channel PBS is now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've got to look for it and find it. Yeah. But yeah, is Ming Tsai still on there though?
I don't know. I don't know. We don't watch his show though.
Do you know who he is? Have you?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by New Sweaters. When you want something that vaguely smells of groin... and you don't quite know why, then you need to buy a new wool sweater. On Amazon, I guess, because it smells like groin and don't really know why. Check them out at mysweatersmellslikegroin.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a pubic discount. I don't even know what that means. Welcome to DIPLUS. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from... the new sweater free state. I had to think about that. The new sweater free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. I thought you were going to say the groin smell free state or something.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
I got lost in my intro. I realized halfway through the theme music there that I did not have a fake sponsor lined up. And so I looked around.
You should have just had a real smile. You should have had that. Oh, I can't say that. Never mind. You should have been prepared. I don't want to say that, what
you
I was going to say.
Prepared. No, so I looked around and I saw this is the only thing that caught my eye, which is a, Adam can see this, you guys can't, but it's basically a wool sweater that I bought because I bought some new sweaters on Amazon
wool.
The other day.
Don't you find those scratchy?
Well, not here, not when it's, 30 degrees outside. It's really warm. It wool gets scratchy when you're hot. That just, if you're wearing wool and it's scratchy, that means it's too warm to be wearing wool. It smells vaguely of groin. You know, like if you were in, hypothetically.
How many groins have you sniffed?
Thousands, Adam. It's like, let's just say hypothetically you were at, a bookstore or something where there was a glory hole or something. It would be that kind of smell that you would get. I don't know why it smells like groin.
Do you sniff the groins or do you just.
Well, you smell them unless.
Unless your nose is stuffed up.
It is right there in your face. Is literally, what? Less than an inch under your nose.
I don't know. I like to keep my distance from those groins at glory holes.
Well, this is the fundamental difference between you and me, Adam. We've had this conversation before. Anyway, Adam, how have you been? We missed you last week.
I have been good. I was going to say great, but then I thought, I don't know if I could say great.
Not great, just good.
Good. We went to San Juan,
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, yes. And we had a really good time.
This is what I want to know. When you first got there, this is what I want to know. Because when you first got there, you texted and said, the resort has a dress code. Ugh. And I was just like, but you never said what the dress code was. What was the dress code at the resort?
I mean, okay.
Did you have it or did you have to go buy stuff to you have to wear a tux in the lobby, sir?
I am a world traveler and I've been to many resorts and I have never been to a resort that had a dress code. No, it wasn't ridiculous. So the dress code was... after 7 p.m., you could not be wearing open-toed shoes.
Yes.
Shorts.
Yes.
T-shirts or hats in any of the lobby areas.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So no beach attire, no hats, no anything like that after 7. But the problem was if you went outside the hotel, like to a beach or something outside the hotel, and you didn't come back until 7, you know, I felt like I was, or after 7, I felt like I was sneaking in.
What were they going to do? Like, were they going to, like, excuse me, like, sir, you can't be, yes, I know, I'm coming back. Let me go to my room and change then.
And they, now, seriously, they did not say vocally to us, hey, this is our dress code. But everywhere you turned around.
It wasn't officially posted.
No, it was officially posted. No, I'm saying they didn't reprimand us or anything like that. But every wall that you, there was a sign. We pride ourselves in our blah, blah, blah resortiness or whatever.
Oh, hold on. 1 second. Let me just grab the phone real quick. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. Azzy Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Band. Hollywood director Elmo Williams, dead at 102.
Wow.
Won an Oscar for directing the movie High Noon. Okay, bye.
Right, the movie High Moon, which I think was a porno.
I'll let you decide on that. I don't care.
What the hell? Congratulations, Arctic. All right. So now Nico says in the chat room very incredulously, no beach attire at a beach resort?
Not after 7.
That's like a Joe Batanza. Like, no. At a beach resort?
And it's ridiculous. No, literally. I mean, literally, they have this whole, and wonderful, by the way, pool area with like 3 pools, 2 hot tubs, one of those swim up bars. You know, there's like a cabana thing with, you know, and you swim up and you can order your daiquiri and you can, you know, drink in the water, all this kind of stuff. The pool area literally just turns into, I mean, you can walk from the deck of the pool.
Welcome to the lovely resort here, the beach resort in lovely Puerto Rico. You cannot wear beach attire, though, sir.
No. No, I mean, literally, you can walk onto the sand of the beach, where, by the way, nice tent set up with a guy giving massages, like, on the beach, and have all the chairs set up and all that kind of stuff. But you can't wear beach attire after 7. Anyway, it was crazy. But now, we did, a couple of times, we did walk in unacceptable attire just to go to our rooms. Like I said, you know, we went to the rainforest or we went to a different beach or whatever, and we had shorts on and we got back at 7 o'clock.
As Sater says in the chat room, you know, Adam is known for his sideways baseball cap and his Daisy Dukes. He's like, that's your look.
Not anymore, Scott. You haven't seen me in a long time. But anyway, so yes, they did have a dress code.
They saw you in Vegas, like,
I didn't wear my Daisy Dukes or my sideways hat once in Vegas. That's true. I forgot about that. I guess Seder is not memorable. Anyway, so, but yes, it was a really nice resort. The room was nice, although our view was not nice because we bought it. I'm never going to buy on Priceline again because you can't choose your room. And so you just get whatever they give you, right?
Yeah.
So of course.
Well, if you're nice to the person when you check in, you could ask.
I was nice.
Did you ask? Like, oh, can we?
No.
Can you tell us where we're going to be?
No, I didn't ask. Well, you know me. I'm just like, you know, give me whatever. No, the room was nice.
There's a dead body in the room. I don't want to bother them though. I'll just let it stay there. I'll just sleep around it.
Right. No, the room was nice and comfortable and everything.
I don't want to be a bother.
The one bad thing about the room.
Yes.
They had Dish Network, and for some reason, the one channel that we watch on vacation was getting an error. This channel is Food Network.
Yeah, it's the Food Network.
We always watch Pioneer Woman like on Saturday and Sunday mornings when we're on a vacation.
Was Ming Tsai?
No. And that was totally an edited on everyone to know. I said Ming Tsai maybe once. And can I just say, everyone made a big deal out of this, but I'm sorry. Ming Tsai is the only
PBS chef that I can remember. You're in the midst of your thing, the Galloping Gourmet? Julia Childs?
So I did. I called down. I actually called the front desk about not having Food Network.
Yes. You won't call about the pot smoker next to you in Vegas, but you'll call about there's no Food Network.
They sent someone up, but you know what he says? He says, yeah, sometimes they have these special events, you know, for a day and they block the channels out or something, you know, if there's something special going on. And I was like, yeah, but this has been happening for 2 days. And he goes, yeah, sometimes they have special event weeks.
Did he think like it was like the sports network, like the sports cooking network where there's like, there's a cook-off going down the beach. So this area is blacked out right now just because of the home. They want to sell tickets at the stadium. So if you want to watch Guy Fieri tonight, you need to go down to the stadium.
was it. So that was his explanation. He didn't do anything else. He left. And so we just had no Food Network. So as a result of that, I watched Pitbulls and Parolees all weekend when we were in the room on Animal Planet because they were having some marathon.
Really? That's your choice.
Well, that's that or choice. HGTV. I mean, you know, you just need some mindless background. Something
well, yeah, I mean,
play,
if anything
you know,
right? over HGTV, I'd, well, that's.
And anyway, we did the pool and the pool was wonderful. We did that and the beach. I'm not going to go into detail. We did a rainforest on Saturday, had a nice little hike down to a waterfall. And a couple of hot
guys.
I
noticed every photo that you posted on Facebook was a collage. It was like the...
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to bombard everyone with like 500 photos.
Why?
So
that's the whole point of... Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Adam. Here's what you do and you don't do on the Facebook. Do post lovely pictures of your vacation. Do post really cute pictures of you and Mittens. Don't, you know, initiate fucking chain things like, I don't normally say this. I don't normally post this. But if you can't read this and you're not my friend, copy this and paste it on yours. It's like, you don't do that shit. And you don't do the, you know, the random, like, here's 19 news stories that I found interesting in the last 10 minutes, you know, and just you do a 19 different posts on the news story and everything. But you do, you know, it's Facebook, Adam. You're supposed to share with us your vacation and your it's a social network. You should post social things.
Well, anyway, I did collages. And so the rainforest was nice. We ate at tons of restaurants, so many restaurants that I'm tired of restaurants.
Chat room would like to know, did you see any birds, lizards, or animals?
You know, no, it was actually the day we went to the rainforest, and it says we have hundreds of species of blah, 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 whatever. We saw one lizard, one gecko.
Did you pay extra for the wildlife tour?
No.
That's your problem. Are you just being cheap? Had you paid for that, you would have seen thousands of them jumping out.
But this rainforest is the only U.S. national park
rainforest. Bambi sitting back there chain smoking, like, I don't come out for free.
Right. Anyway, it was really pretty.
You want to see my fawn? You got to pay for it, bitch. That's what I'm saying. I'm on break.
There were some cute guys swimming at the waterfall, which was nice. And then we did more beaches on Sunday. Anyway, it was a really nice trip. We had a really relaxing time. It was great. The weather was good enough. My only regret for the whole vacation was there are these little tiny islands around Puerto Rico that are also part of Puerto Rico. One of them is called, now I'm forgetting it because we're on the show. It's called Dadgummit.
Did they have music like that down there?
I didn't hear anything like that, but... I can't think of the name of the Dadgum Island. It starts with a C.
They have that? They have steel drums? Yes?
I'm sure they did somewhere. I think that's more of a Jamaican thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was Culebra is the name of the island. There's this island called Culebra. And
Dadgum?
It has, Dadgummit. That's the southern thing.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
So there's a island called Culebra that's got one of the top 10 beaches in the world.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we would take a ferry over there on Sunday.
Another mascot is Culebra guy.
When I looked at the weather, it looked like it was going to be foggy all day. And Mark wanted to go to Mass on Sunday morning in Old San Juan. So I said, let's go to Mass and then let's look at the weather again. And if it looks like it's cleared up, because the weather changed. I mean, the weather forecast kept changing.
Yes.
We will catch the ferry and go over there. What I didn't realize was the ferries aren't very frequent.
Oh.
And by the time we looked, we would have had to catch the 3 o'clock ferry.
This is why you should never be on the Amazing Race.
It takes an hour and a half to get there. And the last ferry coming back was at 5.
Oh, so you would have missed it.
So we would have missed it, or that's probably the same ferry. So we would have taken a ferry over and stayed on the ferry and come back, but we wouldn't have seen the beach. So if you're going to go to Puerto Rico, I would suggest looking into a day trip to Culebra.
So Toppy Smelly in the chat room wants to know why you chose Puerto Rico. I would just say this, Toppy Smelly, listen to our show. He explained this on a previous episode. Okay. All right. Fine.
I wanted to do a Caribbean island, and it's the only one that doesn't require passports and visas.
Because Mark is here on a visa, and doesn't. And where is he from? Manila,
the Philippines.
Well, they don't have a what do you call that? A reciprocal relationship with a lot of the Caribbean islands.
With anybody.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. Well, I'm glad that you had a great trip. You know, I did not take a trip. I was here with Toppy Smelly.
Yes.
We did a lovely little geek show last week, which we got a lot of nice comments about that. A lot of...
Hold on just a second. Let's answer this.
Hold on. Just let me get this real
quick. Hello, Dubious Intent. This is C.T. Yaley, and I'm calling for this celebrity death phone.
Yes.
Joshua Shintani died.
Who?
He's a ukulele player.
Player?
So automatically, you should be disqualified because no ukulele player is famous, but he was in the movie Shallow Hal.
Yeah.
If you remember, it was...
Yeah, Shallow Hal, yes, because he's a fat girl, and he fell in love with her, and everyone saw her as fat, but he saw that Hal saw her as thin.
Guy thinks he's looking at a thin girl.
I just explained this. I did. I just explained the...
He was the ukulele player there, and he's kind of like shorter and kind of obese kind of guy playing the ukulele.
Right. Oh, my God.
If you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea who this guy is, but if you did see the movie, then you know.
Here, I'm going to go ahead and give you credit because he's like, you got another 6 minutes of explanation of who this guy is. Fair enough. We'll give it to you.
Is that Bill?
That was Bill. That's Bill.
Why does he just not say Bill?
Because he's in the chat room usually as C.T. Yaley.
Oh, okay.
That's Bill. He's my friend, Bill. He has a certain amount of infamy in the Fried 48 community because he wrote the Daniel and Curtis theme song for the Curtis and Daniel show. Anyway, so congratulations there. C.T.
The infamous Daniel and Curtis.
So I was here. We did this geeky show where we talked about comics and Doctor Who. And did we talk about Doctor Who? I don't think we did. Star Trek and all that stuff. And you know what? A lot of people have said some really nice things about it. So it makes me feel good to know that I can do, you know, some geeky shows and not have everyone just like, oh, dear God.
You know, it's funny that you and I don't talk about geeky things very often because we're both geeky, although I don't watch Doctor Who, but...
Well, nobody watches Doctor Who this season. Enough, Martinez. I don't want to hear it. I'm just preemptively yelling at Nico, who's going to type in the chat room. Doctor Who's great.
I'm sitting in my chair Indian style. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, great. We'll talk about that later. What will we talk about later?
That I'm sitting in my chair Indian style. Why?
Oh, that's like foreshadowing. Yeah. So there you go. So I stayed here with Toppy Smelly. We had a great thing. You know what, Adam? I got some presents in the mail.
Did you?
I did. I got
you mean from listeners or from,
yes, well, listeners and friends, yes. Okay. I consider them both, but I got from Mark and Ed from It's All About Me podcast. They sent me a Perry the Platypus Christmas ornament, so I got a little Perry the Platypus Christmas ornament, which will go nicely with my Phineas and Ferb Christmas ornaments that I got a couple years ago. And then I got this, Adam, and I know people that have heard DI Plus over the years know this. You must know this, that. To me, it's not actually Christmas time until I get a Hickory Farms set, you know, the sausage and the cheese and stuff. Because growing up...
I've known you for a while, and I don't believe I knew
that. Oh, my God, I talk about this every year, because growing up, my dad was a family practice doctor. Those are the doctors that refer to all the specialties, right? When you get sick, you go to your doctor, and then he refers you out. So all of the specialists at Christmas time send all the family practice doctors gift sets. And, of course, they're buying, you know, 30 of these things. So they just, you know, do the... nowadays, there's lots of choices because of the internet. But, you know, back in the day, there's really only a couple of companies, right? Harry and David on the West Coast and Hickory Farms here on the East Coast. So Hickory Farms would send out these, you know, these big baskets. We would get just hundreds, not hundreds, but we'd get, you know, 10 or 20 of these baskets of the Hickory Farms with the little strawberry candies in them, which you can't get the strawberry candies anywhere else. And it's got the little tiny useless jars of sweet hot mustard and the crackers and the cheese and anyway, to me, that makes Christmas because as a kid, that's how I knew it was Christmas time. So we started getting, you know, these gifts. So it's like Hickory Farms is the ones that I used to like the most, but there was all kinds that we would get there, you know, just like those big tins of popcorn, you know, those kind of things. It's
I'm not a big fan of sausage. So I never really, you know, I never really liked it because it was always those big, huge, long sausages.
Did I even say who it was from? It was from Vera and Gooch that sent me the Hickory Farms thing. So Vera and Gooch sent me the Hickory Farms little package there. Thank you guys so much. And I did. I sat down the other night. This is how stupid I am. I will sit there. I will eat the, I will take the crackers. I'll cut the sausage and the cheese and put the mustard.
My Christmas gift must be in the mail then, right?
From who?
From Auntie Vera.
I just stayed at their house. I set up their, if you had gone to their house and set up a computer for them, then you would get some sausage too.
That's a reason. That's a reason for you to send them a present.
I sent them an apple cheesecake. Anyway, here we go. So Adam, tell me about the strip club.
Okay. So I just wanted to briefly talk. So I do not like, I'm basically corrupting, and I hate it that Auntie Vera is in the chat room because what I'm going to talk about, Auntie Vera, please cover your ears.
And don't judge
me. Are you going to tell her what Christmas present you got her?
And don't judge me, okay? No. But I feel judgment coming on, and I don't want any judgment, okay?
Right. Mr. Mike has been posting pictures of all kinds of sausages in the chat room in case you needed them.
So whenever we go on a trip, well, as everyone knows, I'm a fan of strip clubs anyway.
Yes.
Just on my own, just whatever. I like to go. I prefer to go to the ones that are all naked, because why do I want to see guys walking around in underwear or swimsuits? I can see that at the beach. So no need to go to like a special club for that. You know, I want to go. But we're in Puerto Rico, and I know he wants to go to a bar because he likes to go to gay bars just to dance and drink and whatever. And that bores me. So I want nudity. So I looked around, and I want to find kind of a seedy place, because here's what I thought. You know, the run of the mill, like the real popular, like, you know, club kid kind of place. They're going to have go-go boys, but they're not going to have what I want to see. Right.
Right.
And so they don't have any clubs that are completely nude, but I thought if I pick a place that's seedy, maybe, you know. So I found this listing online for this place called
Club. Did you Google club. That? Did you Google like seedy club?
No, I just looked for strip club, but I was looking around at reviews, and kind of it was a hole in the wall kind of place. And anyway, called Club SX.
Right.
And we went there, and one of the bad reviews was we walked in and there were more strippers than there were clientele.
How is that a bad thing?
What?
I mean, like a bad review, I walked in and it smelled like groin. That would be a bad review.
I just kicked my keyboard on the floor. So we walk in, and there were several really, and it was a plethora. There was anywhere from like a Twinkie boy to a little bit more of a bear kind of type. Not, I wouldn't say real berry, but slightly berry.
Right. So there was a wide range of physical types.
Physical types, all in their underwear, walking around, including the bartender. But we walk up to the bar, and it was kind of empty when we got there, but we walk up to the bar. The bartender is like pulling out his dick and stroking it to keep it hard where everybody can see, and then like putting it back in. And then, you know, he had handcuffs like on the side of his jock strap that he was wearing. And then, so we noticed, this is the first night, so we noticed that these strippers, they're walking up to people. Now, they're supposed to be paid for lap dances in the back.
Yes.
But they're just walking up to people and grinding against them.
Mm-hmm.
Out in the open, and people are like pulling down their underwear and like stroking their dicks for them, and like, you know,
if they had their phone with them, they could be double grindering, right? They could be grinding on people while using Grindr.
And, you know, they're doing all
thing.
This stuff.
It's a thing.
And so he and I are just sitting there kind of having fun watching this, right? And there's this one guy, and he was one of the bartenders, but he was also walking around like getting tips from people and like grinding on people, and had one of the biggest dicks. So anyway,
you had to drop your voice for that.
We had one of. Anyway, so we had a lot of fun kind of watching that night, but we decided to go back the second night. And I was a little bit nervous because I thought, you know, there are all these people touching these cocks. And I've always wondered, like, would Mark ever want to do a lap dance, or would he ever, you know, whatever. So the second night we go, and these people start grinding on us. And we had several people grinding on us the first night, too. But mm-hmm. And then, you know, slowly we kind of touch some butts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and anyway, we might have, you know, one of the hot bartenders they had ropes hanging from the ceiling and around the bar, and the bartender got up on the bar, held onto this rope, and like got himself in all kinds of positions right in front of our face.
There you go.
And was like stroking his dick and all this kind of, it was a lovely experience.
Now the chat room seems to be concerned about the fact that he touched his dick, and then did he mix his drinks without washing his did he wash his hands after touching his dick?
I don't know.
Did your drink smell of groin?
It's alcohol. I mean, first of all, the drink has alcohol in it.
Not much.
And I don't know. I mean, you people meet people on Grindr and suck their cock. I didn't suck.
But
but
you know, it's not something gross like using their toothbrush. You know,
there were no dicks in asses and mouths.
Sure, I'll stick my tongue in his ass, but I won't use that toothbrush.
You know, and if we touched a stripper, we went to the men's room and washed our hands afterwards.
Why didn't you just carry around some Purell or something? Let's see. Yeah, hello.
Hi guys, just calling to tell you, Robert Loggia died. Who is Robert Loggia?
I don't know.
Oh, I spelled it wrong. Let's see. Who, me? Siri, you're so smart. Guys, I'm just so heartbroken.
What?
Robert Loggia. I'm not Italian. Is that an Italian
Let's see, L-O-G-G-I-A.
Loggia.
Robert is a legend. He's a legendary actor, and he was 85. Mm-hmm. What a nice, let's see, oh.
Yes?
Oh, he wasn't, I thought he was a drug kingpin. He was an actor. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I watched him all the time. I knew exactly who he was. I was just pulling your leg. So anyway, Kathy Bacon, dead or alive.
Contest.
Phone number.
Yeah.
GI plus.
Right.
Robert, dead at age 85.
Right.
Okay. Woodhaven.
Robert Loggia, who is always a crusty guy. And he's always played like these really crusty characters. He was in Independence Day. He was in Scarface. So yeah. You would recognize him if you saw him, Adam.
Sure.
No, I mean, you just Google it, Robert Loggia, L-O-G-G-I-A.
I believe you. I'm not.
No, I'm just saying he's one of those characters actor. He's one of those character actors. When you see his picture, you go, "Oh yeah, I know that guy." He was like, always a hard ass and things. Yeah, Loggia, L-O-G-G-I-A. Yes.
Good thing Google has.
Yeah, it's one of those guys.
Yeah.
See, I'm saying, yeah, you'll recognize him. He was in everything.
He was on some TV show too.
Yeah, he was on. He was also on a commercial where the little kid, when he busted through the wall, went, "Robert Loggia," like the little kid would actually know who the fuck he was. Anyway, so there. Congratulations, Kathy Bacon. You are entered into the contest and whatever. So I'm glad that you had a great time with your strippers.
Yeah. I recommend anyone that likes those type of bars go to it. They're really friendly.
All right. Lamont Cranston says that there's a spa in New York City that he'll take you to next time that you're here.
Well, I don't think we've gotten that far in our relationship. I don't know if I want us to get that far in our relationship.
So I was home this weekend because, as I might have alluded to, I don't remember if I talked about it on the show or after the show last week, but I bought a new TV. That was my Christmas present to myself, as I bought a new TV.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Because it was a good deal, and because my TV is about 6 years old, and it's a plasma TV, and so...
Can I just chip in on that with you and just put my name on the tag?
Sure. And but here's the thing. So I ordered this like the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I ordered it online, bought it through Amazon. They had a really good deal where if I used my Amazon store card, which had nothing on it, that I could basically get 2 years interest free. So basically, when you take a $1,200 TV and spread it over 2 years at interest free, it's basically $50 a month, right? So $50 a month for 2 years. Boom, there you go. You have a nice TV. It's a 60-inch 4K TV. Really nice. Read the reviews, make sure I got the right one, blah, blah, blah. So I get an email. I had to pick a date because you have to sign for it, right? So I had to pick a date for delivery, and I chose this Saturday, the 5th of December, this past Saturday, from 6 to 9 a.m., like as early as they can get it here, 6 to 9 a.m. So this was over a week, right?
Now,
I ordered on a Friday.
For you.
I ordered on a Friday for delivery the next Saturday.
Did you need to get something notarized?
I did not. But here's the thing, okay. Adam. So I got an email on Friday from the the Amazon. Hey, by the way, it's getting delivered tomorrow. Make sure that you're home between 6 and 9 a.m. And if they're not going to hit that window, they'll call you at this phone number. And they repeated my phone number, so I know that they had my phone number. And I was like, all right, so great. My TV's coming tomorrow. It was a gorgeous day, but I knew that I was going to get my TV in the morning, and then I had a bunch of errands to run. And
you're saying it was a gorgeous day, like you were planning on going on a hike or something.
No, but I was going to be outside. I was going to go do some errands and stuff. I was going to be out and about. It was in the 50s, which is warm for up here for right now. So it was a really nice sunny day. Here's the thing. So 9 o'clock call comes, no TV, no call, right? Yeah. So I go and I look at the website and I do the tracking thing, and it's like, oh, it got on a truck at 8:18 in Middletown, which is right up the road here. So I'm like, oh, well, they're running late. Okay, well, they'll be here soon. Then noon arrives and still no fucking TV. So at noon, I'm just like, so I send an email to Amazon, and I'm just like, hey, it was supposed to be delivered this morning at 9 o'clock. It's now noon. It's not here. No one's called me. I need to leave the house to go do stuff, and I just want to know.
Do you think they're really there monitoring their emails?
I don't,
from you.
I just want to know when it's going to be here. 30 minutes later, I get a reply from Amazon. Yes, Adam, they are there on the weekends.
Oh.
I got a reply from them. They're like, oh, we're so sorry for your inconvenience. We'll extend your Prime membership by a month. And, and we're so sorry, but don't worry, it's usually delivered. They're probably just running late and they're really swamped. And, so don't cancel your order or anything until tomorrow. You might have to like ship some things back and whatever. Just, it should arrive, blah, blah, blah. So, of course it didn't arrive.
Of course not.
So this morning, 24 hours after the fact, I emailed them again And I'm like, look. And in the meantime, I tried to call the delivery company and they like hung up on me. And then I tried to email the delivery company and they responded. They're just like, oh, well, what's the, where'd you order this from? Because I sent them a tracking number and everything. I was like, from Amazon. Oh, let me forward you to the department that handles that. And then of course they went dead. Never heard from them again. So now it's, so I send Amazon another email. I'm like, you know, now it's been 24 hours, still no TV, still no word. I don't care about the TV. I just want someone to tell me when it's going to get here because I have to be here to get it. Right. To sign right. for the stupid thing because you won't leave it. If they would just leave it, I wouldn't care. Because in that way, I would go.
Well, you probably don't want a TV left outside your door.
I live in the Northeast. Everything's enclosed, right? It's like, yes, it would be out in the hallway in front of my apartment, but there's only, you know, four apartments in this building that has a locked door outside. It would be one of my four neighbors who suddenly, oh, look, I have a new TV. Anyway, so I email Amazon. Now, Amazon, by the way, I got to say, they're on top of these things. So even on Sunday, I got a reply from Amazon. They're like, you know, they're really swamped. We're so sorry. We don't want this to happen. You know, we've credited you $100 to your, so they took $100 off of the thing in the sense that they credited it back to my store card, an extra $100. And so, no, and it was not on track. Someone was asking. It was, something logistics. Anyway. I wish I could remember because I could rag them. Anyway, I'm so pissed at them. I'm just so pissed about the whole thing. I'm not pissed that they have the TV. I'm just pissed that no one will tell me. No one will tell me when it's going to be because tomorrow I have to go to work. So what are they going to try to deliver it tomorrow while I'm at work? And it's like, then they're going to be, oh, well, sorry, we had to ship it back because there was nobody there to sign for it. It's like, yeah, you fuckers, you were supposed to deliver it 6 to 9 a.m.
I feel really bad for you. In fact,
you don't care.
It does sound like a first world problem. Now, I tell you what, I have problems. If you really want to hear about problems.
Oh, I do. I do. I really do. Just hold that thought just for one second here. Let me just take this call real quick. Yeah, hello.
Hey, Dubious Intent Plus guys. It is Zombie Girl TJ calling for the Celebrity Death Phone. And singer Scott Weiland has died. You probably don't recognize the name. However,
no. He
was the former lead singer for the Stone Temple Pilots. You may have heard of them. He's also been with Velvet Revolver and his own band, Scott Weiland and the Wildabouts. Dead on his tour bus in Minnesota. So, you know, hopefully Mags had nothing to do with that. But yeah, Scott Weiland's dead.
So that was the Stone... There's the Stone Temple Pilots.
I have heard of them.
Yeah, congratulations, TJ, you were entered into the contest. And blah, blah, blah.
So here are my problems. I think I've mentioned my mice problems before on there. Guys, I am not a dirty, nasty person. I feel like, you know, embarrassed that I had mice when I lived in Texas, too. I don't understand. They're like following me around the universe. They like stowed away in my bags or something. But yeah, I mentioned on the last show before I went to Puerto Rico that we had a mouse in the bathtub.
Yes.
And we went and bought traps and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you. Did I mention on the show that I found mouse poop on the bed?
I don't think so. I don't think I knew this.
This freaks me out. Like, are they getting up in the bed with us while we sleep at night and like pooping on us?
I don't know if it's cold. Maybe they're trying to get warm. You know, my cat will get under the bed, you know, under the covers and get up right next to me there because he wants to be like warm.
Anyway, so we get back from our trip.
Yes.
I am not even joking. We had caught like 5 mice while we were gone.
Yes.
Which is good. I mean, that's good.
Yes. But they breed like mice.
Right.
Yes.
Then that night, the very night, we get in the bed and we hear scratching in the bathroom, you know, kind of a scraping, scratching noise, right? Go in there. I went out immediately and bought glue traps. I'm like, you know what? Whatever the fuck. I was trying to be more. I was like, whatever. I was trying to be humane, but I cannot live like this.
Yeah.
So I go out and buy glue traps like that night.
Yeah.
So then we closed the door in the bathroom. We put it down. Like an hour later, we had caught another mouse in there. Then we put some more mouse traps around. And the next morning we had caught like 2 more. So in total, we had caught, I don't know, like 7 or 8 mice. Then we thought we were done with the mice and I duct taped. So I had a door insert. So because it's a rental house and we couldn't like put an actual doggy door in because we can't damage the stuff. So we have sliding glass doors in the back. So I put the Look, Toppy, I don't care about these mice. They can suffer all they want. They are in my damn house.
Yeah, you know, you're responding to the chat room that no one read other
he
than...
He says, please never use glue traps. I'm sorry. If they get the fuck out of my house, they won't have to deal
with it. What's wrong
with
the regular, like, snappy traps? The ones that, that snap their necks?
It wasn't working as well. The traps that I have weren't working. They weren't taking the bait.
Well, use better bait.
So I tried to give them humane traps, and they wouldn't go into them. That's all I'm saying.
Because you put them out in the middle of the floor, like big signs, so like, then, come here to die. Look, right here, mouse.
No, Mark took them out in the backyard and hit them with a brick to kill them. I mean, we didn't just let them lay there.
Peanut butter and gumdrops are the best bait. This also, oddly, it's weird because peanut butter and gumdrops are also really good mediums for pot.
So then Wednesday.
So, like, you know, if you were going to do some cannabis treats.
I thought that we were clear of the mice. I thought we were clear of it. There's a little gap between the doggy door and the sliding door so I duct taped that.
Yes.
To get rid of any gap. Made sure it was, I mean, lots of duct tape.
Yes.
So, why, Toppy, oh my God, what is that? Okay, Toppy says, ugh, hit them with a brick, ? A lot of questions. What is the fucking difference between hitting them with a brick and snapping their neck with the freaking, Jesus, seriously? Well, what kind of PETA people are these people in the chat? Anyway.
Right. No, so, look, just why don't you just fumigate the house?
So.
By all these traps, you really could just go stay in a hotel for the night, have the house fumigated. You and Sydney and Mark go stay in a hotel, have the house fumigated, and then come back in.
Maybe we'll. So Wednesday came in, and I was going to orchestra, and I needed to get my trumpet out of the studio, because that's where I keep my trumpets. Grabbed the case, and the case hit the side of the little desk that I have for all my computers, and a white, solid white mouse, like, jumps out and, like, scurries across the room, and I go, ah! You know, as one does. I'm like, damn it. Another one. And so then I, like...
The chat room wants to know if you took the trumpet out back and hit it with a brick.
No, I did not. Oh. So then... I put like five traps in here, in the corners, right near all the things. I closed the door and I stuffed a towel underneath the door so the mouse could not get out.
Trap him in.
I still haven't caught that mouse. And then we opened the door yesterday.
So wait, it's in the room with you right now?
He might be.
He might be in that room with you right now. So if I see him scurrying on the counters behind you, I should say something.
So you should say something because he might kill me.
he's got a gun. So, I'll take you out. This is what you do to my brothers and my sisters.
So then I opened the door yesterday. And, maybe not, Nico, but I stuffed it really tight.
Again, people don't know what's being said
Nico
in the chat room.
Nico says a towel will not trap a mouse. And I'm saying fine. Maybe not, but I stuffed it in that little crack really, really tightly.
You seem very worked up about all this, Adam. Let's take our mind off of the mice. Let's just...
And now my studio smells like mouse pee. That's all I want to say.
That is white trash. All right, here we go. Let's do this.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay. You sing that as you're going down the road, just a little bit of Dora blaring out of the speakers. Is right. It's time for the DI Plus birthday segment, a segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue for somebody's birthday, and I, using only my head, brain, and mouth words, will guess whose birthday it is without cheating and looking at the chat room, and unless I get stuck, in which case I will cheat.
And can I just say,
yes,
I don't want to be cruel, but all I ask is that they...
We've already left that segment. That's a completely different...
Stay out of my house.
Completely different segment.
Some of these people...
Get off my yard, you damn mice!
Some of these bleeding heart liberals that we have listening to this show...
Oh, here we go.
What do you want me to do? Get a flute and, like, play some rousing Pied Piper tune and try to lead them out to the mouse, you know?
That would make a great YouTube video. Anyway, go ahead, Adam. Play us our first musical cue for the birthday segment. Here, we're going to have like a five-hour show tonight.
All right, here it is.
Adam yells at the chat room night.
Hold on.
You can take Dora out back and hit her with a brick.
Damn it.
Oh my God, Diego's behind you.
Don't do that. I'll scream.
Yeah, you killed Dora. I'm going to kill you now.
Give me a second.
Ouch.
try that again. Take two. Please work. Yeah, there we go.
This is the theme switched. Theme switched? It's very loud. The theme song to Bewitched. Yeah. I used to make up words to this song. The words were Bewitched, Bewitched. This show is called Bewitched.
All right, I have another clip. This was a little bit difficult, so you'll have to guess a couple of people probably. Anyway.
Okay.
It's the first person who talks.
My dear darling child, how are you feeling?
Happy?
Okay.
Contented.
It's not the original Aunt Clara. Is it the original Aunt Clara?
It's not Aunt Clara. That's not Aunt Clara at all.
Oh, is that Endora?
It is Endora.
So that would be Agnes Moorehead.
It is Agnes Moorehead.
Hey, Agnes Moorehead, of course, yes.
She's dead, but I love her.
Yes.
She hated that Durwood, or whatever his name was.
Well, she hated both of them, because there were two of them.
She would be 115 years old, but
she looked
there you
it.
Go.
She looked anyway, every of it.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I think I did it again. This is Britney Spears.
It is Britney Spears.
She did it again. Is it Britney Spears' birthday?
Yeah, it is Britney Spears' birthday.
Happy birthday, Britney Spears.
You might recognize this one. You recognize that one?
It's Poison by Britney Spears.
All right. So anyway, Britney Spears is 34 years old.
I know this because I did it on Glee. That's a really bad Mark joke. Sorry.
All right.
I didn't actually watch Glee.
Let's see if you know this one. I've been gay and get
it on. Well, the chat room is correcting me that it was Toxic, not Poison.
Yeah, I didn't hear you. It's just like they
say in the song. Is this modern?
It's modern, and I'll play one more
really,
song.
That song sounds like it's way out of his range. He's like straining to get those. It's like listening to Seder sing. It's just like
I'll play one more song.
Ponderous piano music. You want to bang those keys any harder, there, buddy?
And I will give you a clue. This is a YouTube celebrity. It's been a long day
without you, my friend. Huh. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you. I don't know him.
We've come he gained fame on YouTube doing covers and stuff on YouTube.
Yes.
And that's a Wiz Khalifa song, See You Again, that was in Furious 7. And the other one was a Meghan Trainor song.
Right, but who is
that
he?
He's with? And he is Charlie Puth.
Charlie Puth, a YouTube star. He needs to.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, now if it's a self-recorded thing, it may have just been microphone placement. But it's like
he's 24. No, none of those are self-recorded. Those were professional.
Because the piano, he was just beating the fuck out of that piano. Poor little
Puth.
Piano.
Puth.
Puth.
No, those were both professional recordings. I don't know. Anyway. He is 24, and I'm surprised you didn't know him because he is from YouTube. But here we go.
Yeah, you know, I know all of YouTube, Adam. All of it.
I think you do. Here is our next one. He was a famous trumpet
man from our Chicago way. This is the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
It is. I'll play one more.
It is sung by Bette Midler.
Oh, well, then I don't have to play
the
one
Divine
more.
Miss M. What were you going to play? Miss Otis Regrets? Is that going to be your next one?
I was going to play this one.
Oh, The Wind Between My Wings.
Cold there in my shadow.
It's like phased. It's like playing that song in a phaser.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with that recording. I think that's the actual music.
We recorded
video.
This from across the room. Sounds great.
All right.
Yes.
She's 70. Sorry. Here's
70
the next
years
one.
Old for the Divine. You know what, Adam? What does love have to do with it? This is Tina Turner.
It is Tina Turner.
Tina Turner is what, like a 86 or?
She is 76 years old.
76 years old. She is the same number of trombones that there were in that big parade. Congratulations there.
All right. Last celebrity
the last one.
Birthday.
The last one. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Sounds very Little Richard.
It is Little Richard.
Yes. Little Richard. Woo! There you go, Little Richard.
And actually, I thought he was dead for some reason, but he's not. No, I looked it up.
He just clings on like a like a, I don't know.
I think he's crazy now.
Oh, he's been crazy. Well, I would love to see Little Richard and Avery Brooks like sit down and like try to have a conversation because they're both just batshit crazy. And Kathy Bacon. I think Kathy Bacon should do a podcast where she interviews Avery Brooks and Little Richard together.
Avery Brooks, I'm trying to remember who that is.
He's the Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine, but he's insane. If you ever listen to him, he's crazy. He's just absolutely crazy. He'll just start laughing in the middle of a sentence, and he's just weird. Anyway, there you go. So congratulations to those people that had their birthday with the birthday and the thing. You know what? We have those things on the thing where we also know that people have birthdays. I don't know what I just said.
Pride48.com.
We would like
members
to say
members of the community. Right,
we would like to say a very happy birthday to Brady, who had a birthday on December 3rd. Also, Gay Country West had a birthday on the 4th of December. And yesterday, the day that my TV was supposed to be delivered and wasn't, it was Pod is my co-pilot Taylor's birthday.
So Brady reminds me of the roommate of my very first boyfriend, who was actually hotter than my very first boyfriend, but for whatever reason, I picked the other one of the two because maybe it was less intimidating to be boyfriends with.
Yes.
So I always, when I would go over to their apartment, I would always think, you know, hope that he came out half naked or something. And then the next one, which was Gay Country Wes, is looking, not that he didn't already look hot, but he's looking even more hot nowadays. He's been working out. And I just wanted to mention that. And then Taylor.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Taylor.
Oh, look at you trying to like control the, trying to keep up with the thing, with the roast kind of thing. There you go. Happy birthday to all of you. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you.
That's right. And don't you forget it, you little bitch. Still to this day, don't know what it is she did. She basically just made a bunch of people come with her and sing a song. I'm very excited that she made it to her birthday party that none of them were invited to. Anyway, Adam, you know what we have never really done on this show?
Oh, what have we never done on this
show? We've never really had a guest, you know, like an interview, like, a, you know, like been treated ourselves like a somewhat quasi news type organization and actually like talk to a guest.
I think we should have a guest. Can you rustle one up?
Let me see if I can. You know what? Tonight, we're actually going to be joined by the author of the book, Defining Marriage. He's also a podcaster. He has a podcast called The Sewers of Paris, which many of our listeners have listened to. And he also has, according to this, the long-running marriage equality show, Marriage News Watch, and a cavalcade. Adam, honestly, someone that uses the word cavalcade, a cavalcade of fun videos on YouTube. He is Matt Baum, and he is joining us here this evening. Hi, Matt.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You know what? We don't think we've ever had a guest on the show. I mean, not a serious guest. I mean, we have people on, you know, shooting the shit and stuff, but we've never actually had like someone that we didn't know. You know what I'm saying?
No. Well, yeah, I'm delighted to be the first.
I have no idea how to do a serious interview, so I'm basically going to let Daniel talk and then...
And Adam was just like, I don't read, so I don't know what to do. So you wrote this book called Defining Marriage. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So it's been long in the works. It started years ago when I was living in San Francisco. I was a journalist reporting on marriage equality stuff for the Bay Area Reporter and a few other papers there. And, you know, this is during the times of Prop 8. I was also producing a lot of just little independent videos about couples who wanted to get married and going to their homes and videotaping them talking about, oh, this is our cute little story about how we met. And this is our plans for our wedding. And this is why marriage matters to us. And the more involved I got in that, the more I started doing marriage activism. After a while, I came on board with the Prop 8 case. So I was working behind the scenes on the case that brought marriage equality to the Supreme Court in 2013. And in the process of doing all that work, I was meeting all these amazing people who've been working on marriage for literally decades. Going back to the 70s, you know, folks like Clela Rorex, who is this fascinating county clerk in Colorado, who, as far as we know, is the first government official to knowingly issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they just walked in, two guys walked into her office in the 70s and said, we'd like to get married. And she was like, I don't see why not. And unsurprisingly, many other people did at the time.
Did that not make the news or something? Because, you know, in my mind, I always think like the first date was Hawaii, because that's the first one I remember hearing about, you know, on the news, like at the time.
That was the first modern one. Yeah. But I mean, even in the 70s and 80s, even going back even further, there was discussion of same sex marriage. And it was in the 70s when the first government official knowingly issued the license. There have been cases, isolated cases here and there of people who were able to obtain marriage by misrepresenting their gender and then turning around saying, "Ha ha, we tricked you. We're not a heterosexual couple after all." So Kalila was wonderful. And then, of course, you know, Evan Wolfson did a lot of great work in the 80s. Andrew Sullivan spoke out early for marriage in the 80s, and really made himself an enemy of a lot of people. There are conservatives who were saying, "What, you think that gay people should get married? It's an outrage." And then there were also gay people who were like, "What, you think that we should join this heteronormative institution? That's an outrage." And so he was really getting it from both sides, as the saying goes.
That's always been I won't say it's my view, but in the past, I've always said to people, why would I want to get married? That's like a straight thing. That's like a straight, you know, like I need some gay thing, you know, I don't know. But I know that's the wrong way to think about it, because we do want equality. But that was kind of always maybe it was my way of, you know, making myself feel better about it. Like, oh, why would I want that thing that they've got? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a sour grapes thing. Well, I don't think you're wrong to question the value of it. A big part of the book Defining Marriage that I wrote is about my own relationship with marriage and with my partner. We've been together almost 15 years at this point, and we're not married, and we don't have any plans to get married. And it was actually in the process of working on all this marriage equality stuff and kind of being the face, like Mr. Marriage, for so many years that I was like, you know, I went into it thinking I need to get married. I have to get married. This is what couples do. And by the end of it, I had a much more complicated understanding of what marriage is and what it isn't, why you might want and why you might not. So my relationship with James, my partner, is a big part of the book as well.
I think, Adam, the argument that's always been made against that is that there, and Matt, you would know the actual number here, there's how many thousands of laws that actually are codified with the word marriage in them?
1,138.
There you go. If we were to have something that was equal to marriage but not called marriage, then that means that there's 1,000 and whatever number of laws that we would then have to go back and amend somehow, or petition to get them to amend somehow to add in, you know, which would cost just insane amounts of money for really, honestly, what is equivalent to the same thing. So why would we not take the other route?
It's just easier.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, we are, you know, a country that produces pennies that actually cost us 1.8 cents to make. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. We can talk about
that. I think this is a silly question, but I am totally not political. I totally don't keep up with stuff.
You can tell that because he's spreading his arms. He's got the gesture.
I do not
there.
Keep up with stuff. And I just want, for my own part, I was really surprised when suddenly one day the Supreme Court just, you know, said marriage is legal for all gay people in all of the land, you know, and I know that was coming. And I know that there were loads of people who were working really hard behind the scenes, and there were lots of cases that I know nothing about. But my question would be, for those who were kind of in the know, was it surprising that it happened so quickly? I mean, was that expected? Or, you know, I mean, for me, it was a surprise because, again, I don't follow closely everything, but.
It was a surprise. I think going back to the 80s, Evan Wolfson, who's regarded as sort of the architect of a lot of the marriage equality stuff that happened, he was a law student back then, and he wrote this thesis for, I think he was going to Harvard, called Same-Sex Marriage in the Constitution. And at the time, he couldn't get an advisor because it was such an insane topic that people were like, absolutely not. I'm not going to put my name on this. So he really had a hard time in the 80s convincing anybody that this was anything remotely realistic. And for a long time, the LGBT community was fairly disinterested in marriage because at the time in the 80s, there were other priorities. It was only like in the 90s when the balls started rolling, like as you say, in Hawaii, with these two women who I interviewed for my book, actually. Janora and Nania, who lived in Hawaii and just decided, I think it was Nania had an ear infection and was like, and didn't have health insurance. But she was like, well, if my partner has health insurance, maybe I can marry her. And that's how this one little ear infection turned into a giant lawsuit that took almost a decade to complete. And so, you know, battle through the courts, and things looked really bad for us for a long time because what became clear is that queer people really did not know how to make a case for marriage. We were really bad at it for a long time. I don't know if you remember during Prop 8, but some of the ads that ran even then, that was 2008. It was really poor messaging.
It was. I do recall that we couldn't really, and then our argument basically came back to, well, yeah, or, you know, something. Again, it's like, honestly, what we should have been saying was, it's a tax status, right? It's a damn tax status, and we're taxpayers, and why are you allowed to have this, you know, this entire set of financial codified things that we as taxpayers can't? I mean, just kind of take the religious argument out of it completely. But
well, there was actually some magic words that were eventually discovered around 2012, just before. And it was actually by a straight woman, Thalia Zapatos, who was working on a ballot measure in Oregon years ago. She was a straight woman. She was she was a political consultant and worked on a ballot measure about equal rights. And realized in the course of that for LGBTs, realized, oh my God, gay people really have to endure a lot of harassment. And so she kind of made it her cause to try to figure out how to make marriage happen. Years of research and focus groups and like talking to straight people and putting ads in front of them. She had this memorable time one time when she showed, Del and Phil, the elderly couple who they were the first to marry in San Francisco.
Yes.
These cute little old ladies. They're just so wonderful. She showed this footage to some straight voters. And one woman said, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but it never occurred to me that there were elderly gay people.
I've been to back when I was with the Gay Men's Chorus in Tampa, we would do a big film festival every year. And a lot of the films, you know, every year we would try to include a film on the elderly because, you know, you kind of don't think about that. You think about now in the course of like people coming out and being open, we're getting to the point where those people are starting to retire. And, you know, I'm expecting, you know, to see like gay retirement homes, you know, come along here at least in the next, you know, decade or so, just because it seems like such a, you know, you want to stay around your own kind, you know, you want to stay in gay neighborhoods when you're growing up. Why wouldn't you want to retire in, you know, a gay neighborhood? Same kind of a thing. I think that's if it doesn't already exist, I'm sure it will soon.
You know, the LA Gay Center is doing this massive expansion right now where and they're doing it for elder care is one of the big reasons that they're building like a huge new complex to accommodate this elderly, this, you know, aging population. And yeah, I agree. I mean, we're seeing people who in greater numbers, for one thing, because there were a lot of generations that were lost, that now that, you know, people are recovering and we have these numbers of people that are aging that we didn't have in a long time. And people are out in numbers that they never could be before. So, you know, it's really unprecedented.
It is. I'm scanning here through the chat room to see what we've got here. Veritable Virgo, who's from up here in New England, says it does seem like the major LGBT orgs really bundled up the things during Prop 8. And that was 4 years after the 2004 equality vote here in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, it was a very different thing because in 2004, I mean, we were so good at litigation. Our lawyers were so good. And then when it came time to talk to voters, we realized that we really didn't know what to say. And it was so Thalia Zapatos, that straight woman, she was the one who figured out the magic words to inoculate voters against the opposition and, you know, what to say to voters to so that when they ran into, you know, oh, they're going to come for the kids, they're going to impose gay marriage, that suddenly,
well,
you know.
But then we have to marry our dogs.
Yes, exactly. That's what's next.
So what were the magic words? What were the magic words?
Well, so it seems obvious now, but it's talking about love and commitment. The reason that straight people get married, who'd have guessed, is also the reason that gay people get married.
Right.
And when you start putting ads on TV about how gay people just are in love and they want to commit to each other, and that's what I saw in 2012, Washington, Maryland, Maine, and Minnesota all had ballot measures on marriage. And, you know, I've got in Defining Marriage, my book, I've got a bunch of stories from all those states about the people who are fighting for it. And they were like, I don't know about this love and commitment thing. I don't know. It's untested. No one's ever tried that before. And so it was really an uphill battle for a lot of these folks to be like, no, trust me. Trust me. It'll work. And it was borne out. 2012, we won in all four states and no one thought that was going to happen. It was down to the wire.
It is one of those things when you really think about it. Right? So if you have a right and it's taken away from you, then it's much easier to quantify why you want that right back. But in this case, you know, we were basically, in a lot of cases, shooting the moon here, asking for this to start with, right? It was just kind of like, we demand that we want to be married. No one really seriously thought that was going to happen overnight, right? And then, you know, the first person to ask why, of course, you get the deer in the headlights. Like, well, I haven't, because this should be obvious. Is it because, yeah. Right? It's like, I've never had to put this into words, right? Is to why I think I should have this. I do recall, like, at least during Clinton's first election, that, you know, when he came and gave the big David Mixner speech to us, right? It was like, I have a vision and you were part of it and blah, blah, blah. That was more about don't ask, don't tell. I don't think we even thought it was realistic to try, you know, for marriage back then. We were just trying to kind of repeal don't ask, don't tell, right? Which is something he could easily do with an executive mm-hmm. order and didn't, but that's sour grapes for another day. going back, love and commitment and medical insurance. It's interesting that came from Mr. Mike in Canada, who, by the way, already has there. They've had that before us, right?
Yeah, for a long time. We're still catching up to some parts of the world, and there are parts of the world that are catching up to us.
Yeah. Yeah, we have RT Cruiser from Australia who is talking about his thing, but I can't read an Australian accent. But the medical insurance is funny because you mentioned that the case in Hawaii basically came down to health insurance. And my own marriage came down to health insurance, right? It's like I had been with my partner for 10 years and it was kind of one of those, I don't think we would have gotten married, but then I switched jobs where he had to be legally married to me to be on the health insurance. And so that was the reason we got married, was just for health insurance. Of course, you know, we're trendsetters. So now we're, you know, doing that gay divorce thing because that's, you know, that's the next big thing. And, you know, we just want to be there first.
Speaking of medical insurance, I was thinking, because a lot of companies in the U.S., that were being more progressive, including the company I work for, had already started providing health insurance for partners.
Yeah.
So if you could prove that you had lived together a certain amount of time or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think they extended that to straight people and gay people. So yeah. They weren't being. So I'm wondering now if those companies that did that will now say, OK, now we're not going to do that anymore. Now you have to be married because it is legal to be married. So some gay people that have been, you know, had the convenience of, you know, maybe not having to have the ultimate commitment of marriage, but still be on the same health insurance because they've lived together for a couple of years, may actually not be afforded that right anymore, that privilege by their company, because now they can get married.
Right.
Yeah, it's a real tangled web. That is happening, that their companies are saying, all right, well, we're getting rid of this partner thing and you all have to get married. And so it's kind of forcing this crisis for a lot of queers who are like, oh, boy, I guess we got to do it now. Yeah. Which sometimes, you know, in some cases is a little premature when, you know.
And, you know, it is such a... It is so trivially easy to get married. It is, you know, you don't think about it, but a $25 fee and standing at a courthouse and basically swearing an oath right there for the little clerk to do your stamp, you're actually married. You have a form that you then take and have your spiritual person or whatever, you know, say that there was a ceremony and you mail it back. But for legal purposes, you know, as soon as you swear that oath in the courthouse, you're married. I mean, that is, and to get divorced is so complicated. It is, it is just this maze of stupid arcane laws and you know, it's like calling the IRS. If you call and ask questions, you'll get four different answers depending on when you call. And it's like divorce is largely the same way, which I just, you know, giving you some material for your next book, but
yeah, yes. Defining divorce,
a gay man's guide to getting the fuck out of Dodge.
I think for some gay men, the fact that we can now get married might be scarier than when, you know, I don't know, the prospect of not being able to.
At least you had that excuse.
At least you had that excuse. It's like, you know, because we're not used to a lot of people who didn't have that right. We're not used to having to think about, you know, when am I going to pop the question? Oh, what if we don't work out? And, you know, the whole divorce question and all that that straight people have had to kind of deal with forever, because there's always that question looming for people who lived in states where it wasn't a right or you weren't allowed to get married. You didn't really have to think about it. You know, to go, oh, you know, my biological clock is ticking, honey. You need to pop the question, you know, where's my ring? So
yeah, we had it easy. We could just come and go as we please, as it were.
Right.
But now we've got all these contracts and commitments and things. So, you know, it's kind of careful what you ask for.
Daniel knows from experience, right, standing in line for a notary.
Actually, you know what? We've had a very civil divorce, and when it's fine. There's not been any problems. I see Greg in the chat room, our token straight listener, says hospital visitation was the argument that he first heard when people were talking.
That was a real compelling one, and I mean, it still happens, because I think attached to that is this terror of, I mean, imagine, a lot of people have been in this position. You go to the hospital because your partner is sick or, you know, needs care. And to be told, I can't, you know, sorry, you're not a member of the family. You know, we saw that like in the movie Philadelphia. I think that was the first time a lot of people saw that actually happen.
Yeah.
Where, you know, someone is, Antonio Banderas is actually told by someone, you're not a member of the family. And just the shock of that. Yeah, I mean, it's a real gut punch. It's real emotional. It's not as practical and, you know, just saying, oh, well, there are all these rights and inheritance and testifying against each other in court and, you know, property deeds.
Oh, yeah.
These things are not particularly exciting, but being thrown out of a hospital, my God.
True. Well, if I'm allowed to get married, then you can't compel me to testify against my spouse. That doesn't really sound like a great... It just sounds more like a Weasley argument, right?
James, my partner, and I will often tease each other about that, about what we're going to testify, what we're going to say on the stand about each other because we're not married. So we could just like blab away while he snores, while he leaves his socks on the floor.
All right. So real quickly, your book has been out in hardback for how long?
It's out in paperback as of...
Oh, so was it ever out in... And because you said that it was out in paperback now, so I thought maybe there was a hardback.
Oh, no. So originally the book was out as just an ebook.
Okay.
And then I did a audiobook version that you can download as a podcast.
Oh,
so
nice.
One chapter a week, complete and unabridged. Same name, Defining Marriage. You can find it all at definingmarriage.com.
Okay.
And now as of November, it's out in paperback. So you can get perfect thing for stocking stuffers.
And it looks like just name dropping here. Looks like you interviewed in this book, you interviewed Dustin Lance Black, Dan Savage, Gavin Newsom. Let's see, Ed Murray.
Yep, Mayor of Seattle.
Yeah. So
Jenny Pizer from Lambda Legal. I had Robbie Kaplan on the podcast. I had Barney Frank on the podcast, which was a real thrill.
Nice.
I can now count myself among the people who have been yelled at by Barney Frank.
Which, by the way, what is The Sewers of Paris about? Tell us a little bit what that's about.
Yeah. So it's each week I have a different guest on and we share some revealing stories from that guest about the entertainment that changed their lives. This started when I was at the Eagle, the gay bar here in Seattle. I was talking to a friend about gay TV shows that he watched growing up. And so he was telling me about Eurovision, which I'd never seen. I was telling him about Bewitched, which he had never seen. And then we both started talking about Christopher Isherwood. And I was like, boy, you know what? Gay men have all these different cultural influences, but they get to them through such different ways. So that's why I started The Sewers of Paris. And so I've got folks on to talk about... Britain operas. We've had people talking about Oscar Wilde. We've had people talking about Mean Girls. We've had people talking about Divine and Dorothy Parker.
You could have had Toppy Smelly on sometime. He can tell you about Rick Jones and the Teen Brigade in Captain America comics.
Oh.
There you go.
It's
at thesewersofparis.com, though, right? Actually, if you can just go to your landing page, right? mattbaum.com, and you can get to all of that stuff. So mattbaume.com. And thank you so much for being our first actually official guest here on DI Plus. It's
how exciting. Yeah, I'm so glad I could do it.
I'm sure Adam would say so if his audio wasn't complete. Oh, wait.
Yes.
He's got it fixed there.
Back.
There you go. We lost Adam for a while. He fell into a jet engine. Anyway, Matt, it was so nice of you to come on today and thank you so much.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad I could be your first serious guest. Serious in air quotes.
Popped our cherries. All right.
You're very gentle.
I will cut that there. The news.
You know, I'm not going to say that I hate the pornography being posted in the chat room.
Yes.
By Mr. Mike, because it's all very nice.
But?
It's very distracting.
Well, then quit
That's
looking at it.
Anyway.
But, you live in an internet world. You have the internet at your house. You could see naked photos. Literally, if you get bored at some point in time, you could pick up any one of your devices and go to Google and type in, naked boys.
That's true.
I mean, you could see them at any time.
Singing.
Whatever you wanted. Naked boys pooping. Whatever you're into, Adam.
No.
Naked boys, groin smell.
Yes. All right. So the last thing Richard Williams expected when he started doing chores in the garage of his Novato home the day after Thanksgiving was that he would soon be in a life and death battle.
Oh, my God.
With a crazed squirrel.
Now, is this like a real squirrel or like a Fred Figglehorn squirrel?
Yes.
Okay, great.
It's a real squirrel.
Got it.
The 87-year-old William said the squirrel that has been terrorizing the neighborhood slipped into the garage through an open door. He charged me and jumped. And from then on, the battle started, he told CBS 5.
Yes.
The squirrel turned
I'm picturing like a Wile E. Coyote situation here. What, did the squirrel start ordering mail order things on Amazon or whatever?
No, listen. The squirrel turned William's head, arm, and legs bloody.
Oh my God.
Also smashed his glasses.
Oh my God. And then he found a moose. He started his own TV show. He's insane.
He was really vicious. He was clawing and scratching. I was trying to get him off. Every time I'd get him off, he'd jump back up again.
What's this guy's name? Is this guy's name Romanoff again? It's a moose and squirrel. Moose and squirrel broke into my house.
He's really bloody. If you click on the link, there's a picture of him.
He's 87. He tripped and he fell down, and now he's like trying to save face. No, I don't need. I can still drive a car. I haven't lost my faculties. That damn squirrel that came in here and it had a gun. Have you seen the picture of it? If you've seen the little squirrel with a gun, that's the one. He came in here and he took the butt of the rifle and just like punched me, like, you know, caught me off guard. I don't know why I sound like this.
Well,
kind of a weird voice.
So the way it ended, he jumped on the guy's wife when she came out to see what the commotion was. He finally was able to grab the squirrel by the tail and threw it on the garage
now
floor.
Boys,
and it stunned it, but then the squirrel raced off and
God.
A neighbor came to the couple's aid.
Did they like tase the squirrel? You've won this time, human, but I will be back with my friends.
So the same squirrel is suspected of attacking five others in the last 2 weeks in the surrounding neighborhood.
No one makes Nutsy look stupid. No one.
Now, look, I'm afraid that's what my mouse is going to turn out to be like. It's going to jump the fuck up on my face.
And a mouse gang.
And claw my eyes out. Is what it's going to do.
In other news,
you're not going to have a co-host next week. The mouse is
going to. Well, Scott the Satyr, he wanted to be the co-host. So there you go, Scott. If Adam gets attacked by mice and squirrels this week, you got a job next week.
That's the only news story I have this week.
Excellent. I did not post a news story because we had Matt on, and that's going to push us late, which is fine. It's fine, right?
It's fine.
It's fine. Whatever. It's fine. There you go. And now I've lost my place.
So I have a question for you. Did you do the thing?
No, I didn't. And thank you for asking, but we can do this.
3, 2, 1. Contact is the secret. Is the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer. Is the reason that everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact.
Excellent. You know, I had this voice recording that came in last week that I did not play on the show because it came in via email and I forgot to put it up on the thing. So I wanted to play it this week because we don't actually have calls. And one of the calls last week was for you, but since you didn't listen to the show, you know, you won't.
I'm gonna. It's on my list.
You're gonna. I'm gonna listen to it. Anyway, let's listen to this voice.
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Daniel.
Yes.
This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler calling from the streets of Brisbane now. Two things. One, Adam, I give you permission not to take notes as you listen to my show every week because I simply trust that you do.
Right.
Two, if you do take notes about a show, maybe you should get a better note taker because I'm 100% sure that it's all about me. Did not talk about mittens going to the dentist.
I did not.
Okay. Oh, wait, no. Three, there was never anything about you being a bright spark and winning a week's holidays.
Thank you, Scotty.
Unless, of course, that was in the episode that was totally garbled and you couldn't actually hear it.
No, that was...
Okay,
that was,
thank you for calling. Bye.
See, I knew you didn't talk
Mark
about the spark award.
Go to the dentist. It wasn't...
No. What happened was is you had talked about... You had talked about mittens right before you talked about Mark going to the dentist. So it's like your marks got confused. So it sounded like, I know that, but it sounded like you were saying that mittens had gone to the, because I also thought that when you said it and then realized later when, Mark, you mean Mark, the host from It's All About Me.
And I haven't listened to their latest episode yet, but I really want to hear if he has a comment about how screwed up his teeth are.
No, he doesn't.
He didn't.
You completely ruined their contest. So it's basically the show is just in shambles now. Now they don't know what to do with their old contest thing.
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
I'm sure it'll be really easy.
They'll have a new contest for people to figure out how to rejigger the old contest.
That's right. Now, you know, there is a contest going on. It's the Kathy Bacon Christmas Funtastic Call contest, whatever. I started to participate
in
it.
You didn't use your intro.
I know. I started to participate in that thing because I called Fatty's show, but then he didn't play the phone calls until like Friday. So it's like, he bitches all the time about how he has no content. But the day after he got the phone call from me, he basically like pulled out the newspaper and started reading like the fucking Family Circus. And he's like, oh, look, little Billy went across the backyard and you can see the little dash line. He went through the swing set. Oh, he went through the swing set. And then he jumped over the barbecue. And then he went back in and he got his little muddy feet inside. It was like, oh my God, will you just play your fucking anyway. So, I don't know if I'm going to continue.
Well,
I'm just saying, Adam, if you call our show, we play your voicemail.
We do.
Unless you're Scotty and you forget it. And then, you know, and I forget, but I played it this week, Scotty.
Because he always emails it in and sometimes we forget to look at the email.
Well, you're usually the one that sets up the Trello with the voicemails, and I was doing it because you were gone last week. And so it was just me. I didn't really think to look in the email and do that. So anyway, there you go. So, but
it's
thank you.
Because I have a computer script and it doesn't check the email. It only downloads the.
Right. Here we anyway. Go. I'm going.
3, 2, 1. But thank you for your call, Scotty.
No, we're no longer in the contact segment, Adam. You cannot thank him posthumously. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Posthumously. That one, of course.
Yeah.
do you have a big week planned?
Nope.
Okay, great.
Just work and
you know it is the season. Fa la la la. But my nephew is coming into town Wednesday through Sunday, so I will be heading off to New York City to be with my nephew and his girlfriend for the weekend. So I just got an email this evening from said nephew. He was trying to get tickets to the Tonight Show because the way the Tonight Show tickets work is you have to follow their Twitter account, and then the month before they'll tweet out, and then you can get them for that. So while I was out in California, he was watching their Twitter account to try to get. He did not get tickets for the Tonight Show. However, he sent this to me this evening, which is a receipt. For the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. So I will be going to the Thursday, December 10th taping of the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. So I will report back on that next week.
Trevor Noah's kind of cute.
I will tell him you said so. Anyway, I don't know. I just feel like I should, you know, he's not Jon Stewart, but maybe if he's, you know, there after and I could talk to him, I could just be like, you know, can you take a look at this, like on the spot on my arm? Because I think the rash is spreading. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. There you go.
I don't think we're going to miss any shows during the holiday. I'm sorry, I have a mint in my mouth and that affected me.
Glad that you chose this time to pop a mint in your mouth. A mere 30 seconds before the show is actually ended, you decide that is a really good time.
Shows, because I was just thinking,
yeah,
I'm coming back from as soon as possible from Christmas. And so I think I'll be here.
I'll be here.
And you never go anywhere other than New York City.
That's right. So I'll be in New York. It'd be great. Anyway, Adam, then I guess I'll see you next Sunday.
I guess you will, although right next Sunday is not Christmas. But
right here on most of these NBC stations. I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say there. But anyway, good night, Chet.
Good night, David.